Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First today to Israel, where a nationwide strike is underway aimed at ramping up pressure on the government to secure the release of the remaining hostages in Gaza. Now, yesterday, tens of thousands of protesters took to the streets in an outpouring of grief and anger after the bodies of six hostages were recovered on Saturday. The Israeli Defence Forces say they had been killed shortly before its troops reached them. However, Hamas say they were killed in an Israeli attack. Well, I'm joined now by Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent, who's in Tel Aviv. Good morning, Alistair.
Morning.
Can we talk first of all about this general strike? How big is that expected to be? What services will be impacted?
So the strike was called by the country's largest trade union. So it affects public sector workers, which means buses and trains aren't running. The main airport, Ben Gurion Airport, is pretty much shut for flights. There's a few taking off and landing, but very few. But also other private sector companies are also taking their own decisions to be on strike as well. So the idea is to bring Israel to a standstill. Now, I'm in Tel Aviv. It's pretty busy on the streets, but a lot of businesses are obviously closed. And the idea is to put a lot of pressure on the Israeli government politically, but financially. Strikes like this cost the economy an awful lot of money, and its economy, let's not forget, that has suffered 11 months of war and so has taken an almighty battering. At the moment, it's only scheduled for one day, but there are reports around this morning that the trade union is looking at extending it by a further day.
And does it feel like a big moment, this decision to take a strike action?
Yes, it does. It felt like a big moment from the moment that I first started hearing the rumours that six bodies had been discovered and their identities late on Saturday night. When that news was confirmed early on Sunday morning by the Israeli military, it was obvious that this was going to be quite a pivotal moment for Israel. And then that manifested itself in up to 500,000 people on the streets of particularly Jerusalem and Tel Aviv last night. Now we have a general strike. What I would say is I think it is quite pivotal, but whether or not it will have an effect, I couldn't honestly say yet, because my sense is that things have moved very, very quickly and they're sort of unfolding in real time, if that makes sense. The protests last night were huge, but they were brought together within hours. The strike was called late yesterday afternoon. There's discussions about it extending to another day. I think everybody is trying to work out what happens, where this goes, and what effect it might have on the government.
And the protests of last night, they haven't continued into today, but perhaps more are expected later as time goes on.
Yeah, there are protests today, but sort of smaller pockets of protests across Israel. So, and sort of stuff we see quite regularly. So maybe, you might get a hundred or so on a bridge over a motorway. There might be a few hundred closing a key road here, but they're not happening at the moment in sort of some mass coordinated way. But that could happen this evening. When they do happen in large numbers, they do happen in the evenings.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the issue which has prompted all of this. And you mentioned there the six hostages whose bodies were found. And we know that the Israeli Defence Forces and Hamas have very differing accounts of what happened to those people.
Hamas say they were killed as a result of Israeli military action, suggesting there was an airstrike or something similar that killed them. The Israeli military say they were murdered by Hamas shortly before their soldiers managed to find them. If you remember last week, there was a Bedouin man brought out of Gaza alive,
yes.
Farhan Ahkadi. He was found around a kilometre away from where the bodies of these six hostages were found. And so the Israeli military, as they have been moving through Rafah in the south of Gaza, have been uncovering, they reckon, about 80% of tunnels now. It's their estimation that they were very, very close indeed. From what I'm told by the Israeli military, they didn't have specific intelligence that these six hostages were there at that moment, but there was fierce fighting going on nearby, and then they discovered the bodies. Now, they haven't said, there are reports about what happened to these six hostages and that they were executed, but they haven't said officially how they are so certain that Hamas killed them, but they have done forensic tests on them. So, like, if there were bullets inside their bodies, for example, they are able to extract those and do forensic tests on bullets. my point is that the Israeli military on this occasion seemed very, very certain that they were killed by Hamas. And I would say that was echoed in the certainty of the statements, particularly from the White House.
Mm-hmm. It is a dreadful situation for the families of those six people, knowing that they survived for 11 months and then a few short hours before they were found or discovered or handed over, their deaths happened. I mean, that there is almost nothing worse to consider.
It is agonizing, and that is also what is playing into the strength of feeling on the streets. You know, these six men and women were young. They were pretty healthy. They had managed to survive 6 months in captivity, 11 months in captivity. And the expectation was that they would be amongst the first to be released in the first phase of a hostage deal. So there was real hope that they would come out alive. Carmel Gatt, one of those who died, I spoke to one of her relatives a couple of weeks ago, and she said that Carmel was supposed to come out the day after the ceasefire way back in November happened, but the ceasefire ended and she didn't come out, but she was that close to coming out in November. So almost certainly, had a ceasefire been agreed a week ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever, then I think it's fair to assume that these six probably would have made it out alive. And that is what has shocked the Israeli nation.
And how has Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responded to this criticism?
Well, when you bear in mind, as I said, that the rumours of these deaths had been circulating on Saturday night, and then it was confirmed early on Sunday morning, it was a few hours before Benjamin Netanyahu even made a statement, and that didn't go unnoticed. People were making a lot of comments that they'd heard from the US president, the US Secretary of State, the Israeli president, the Israeli military, but the Israeli prime minister hadn't yet made a statement. And other people have pointed out that when Noah Argamani, for example, one of the female hostages, came out, Netanyahu visited her in hospital. When Farhan Akkadi, as I said, was released last week, Benjamin Netanyahu phoned him immediately, and yet he hasn't, we believe, spoken to any of the families of these six hostages. And so that is all playing into the anger against Netanyahu. But Netanyahu is defiantly saying that Hamas killed the hostages, and it is Hamas who have repeatedly blocked any ceasefire deal.
Mm-hmm. And Hamas say the opposite, and they point the finger back at him. So where does this leave any possibility now of talks around the ceasefire moving ahead in any way? Are they in disarray at this point?
Well, apparently, according to the Washington Post this morning, President Biden and Vice President Harris are meeting with the US negotiating teams in Washington today. And there are reports that the Americans are putting together another proposal, and it might this time be a take it or leave it proposal. There's been a lot of rumors around that the White House has been fed up also with Benjamin Netanyahu, and there are senior American officials that think that Netanyahu has been putting in extra conditions to any ceasefire agreement that Hamas were never going to agree to. We never know entirely what the detail of the negotiations are. I mean, I do speak to the negotiators who are very close to it, but it's always hard to try and understand exactly who might be to blame for a deal not happening. What I would say is, I think what we can be very certain about is that there is an issue around the Israeli military remaining in parts of Gaza, particularly what's known as the Philadelphia Corridor, which is the strip of land that is at the bottom of Gaza between Gaza and Egypt. Netanyahu is insistent, and he said it publicly many times before, that Israeli forces stay there because he doesn't want Hamas to use the smuggling tunnels into the Egyptian Sinai to rearm. Hamas have said, no, you must withdraw from there, otherwise there won't be a deal. And senior Israeli military and security officials, including the defense minister, have told Netanyahu publicly, look, we can withdraw temporarily. We can handle it for 6 weeks. We can put monitoring devices in there. We can cope with it, take a deal. But Netanyahu is sticking to his position. And I think that is, you know, playing a big role in feeling within Israel at the moment, because they see divisions within the cabinet.
And Alistair, what do we know about the remaining hostages then?
So there are 97 remaining hostages who were taken on October the 7th. And then there are four other hostages who have been in Gaza between them for many, many years. And they are also a part of the negotiations. So the negotiations also concern retrieving them as well. Two of them are confirmed to have died some time ago, but the other two, their conditions unknown. As for how many of the remaining hostages in Gaza are still alive, nobody really knows for sure. The official number of those that are believed to have died is 34, but I think most people think that that number could be much, much higher.
Mm-hmm. So looking at the other events over the weekend, we had that vaccination program run by the World Health Organization, and there was a very ambitious plan to vaccinate 640,000 children against polio in stages. Is that working? What have you heard about it?
Yeah, that does seem to be working. I'll be totally honest. Yesterday, events in Israel itself somewhat overtook us, in so much that we were quite focused on the protests here. But mm-hmm. I did speak to contacts at the World Health Organization in Gaza, on the ground in Gaza, yesterday morning, as this kind of temporary truce in central Gaza was starting to take place. And they said it was going well. They said, actually, you know, we've got hundreds of people lined up at clinics. They feel safer to come to the clinics because the fighting has stopped. And it does seem as though both Israel and Hamas are sticking to that. Now, just, you know, to be clear, this is not a widespread ceasefire across Gaza. This is a ceasefire in a very specific area of central Gaza for 3 days and only during the daytime. If it goes well in the center, it will move to the south for 3 days and then to the north for 3 days. But I think Israel and Hamas both understand the importance of this going well. You know, the idea of polio spreading as it has been across Gaza is unthinkable. And, you know, it wouldn't just necessarily spread in Gaza. You know, it could very easily then be transferred, perhaps, you know, through Israeli soldiers who are operating in Gaza. It can be transferred into Israel as well. And so there is real incentive for both sides to make sure that this happens.
I did hear one aid worker saying, though, that you had your 8-hour window, and then immediately once the 8 hours had passed, the fighting resumed again, which is a depressing reminder that this really is only, as you say, very short windows to allow this program to go ahead. And then it's back to what has become normal now.
It is. And the Israelis have never, ever deviated from the position that whatever the truce, whether it was a full ceasefire or whether it was these sort of shorter term truces for the polio vaccinations, they will continue fighting in Gaza. You know, they are, for sure, dismantling Hamas. They are uncovering more and more tunnels. And they have, in their opinion, work still to do. And Hamas are still managing to fire the odd rocket out of Gaza. The few Israeli soldiers were killed in Gaza last week. So the fighting goes on. And the Israelis have said that they will continue doing that. They have made no noises to the effect that they would stop fighting altogether.
Okay, but it is a very, as you say, a pivotal moment now, because we have this strike in Israel, these protests last night. So it'll be very interesting to see where this goes for Benjamin Netanyahu in the coming hours even.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it really is pivotal. He cannot fail to have seen the feeling on the streets of Israel last night. He has got divisions within his own government. It's hard to know where or what pressure will actually force him to change his mind. Will it be the pressure from the protests on the streets? Will it be the pressure from the economic impact of a general strike? Will it be pressure from within his own cabinet? Will it be pressure from the Americans? Will it be a combination of all of those things? Or will he ride it out as he's managed to do so many times before, whether or not it's during the last 11 months of war, whether it was before that when it was the judicial reforms? You know, Benjamin Netanyahu is Israel's longest leader for no accident. He is he's a politician to his bones, and he has weathered storms before, and he might do so again. But, you know, whilst the country has been united at times during this war and the effort to defeat Hamas and the effort to get the hostages home, I do feel there are major divisions in Israel now that have been widened considerably after the events of the last 36 hours.
Alistair, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much for taking our call from Tel Aviv. That's Alistair Bunkle, who's Sky News Middle East correspondent.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.